When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento, Sacramento, Sacramento,
Sacramento. Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. Also, this show's on Instagram. We're at Lost in America Pod. We're also on YouTube now. We got a YouTube channel. You can watch this. Whatever you're listening to now, you can watch as well. Or if you're watching it, guess what? We're a podcast. You can listen to us.
I combed my hair this morning, so watch us.
Check it out. Cap's got a great view of Manhattan from his high-rise apartment, his luxury high-rise suite. This is what welfare will get you in America. You get a high-rise.
This is living on the dole at its finest. So check it out, everybody.
Living on affordable the government's housing. Money. Cap, on the podcast today, we have Chino Liao, a fantastic comedian from the Philippines. I met Chino years ago doing comedy at the Hong Kong Comedy Festival, I believe 2015 possibly, but he's also a part of Comedy Manila. He's going to be with us in just a minute. But the reason why we're having him on is there's news out of the Philippines. And as we always say, we're slaves to the news cycle.
We go where the news takes us. That's how we decide.
Wherever it is in the world.
We get into the meeting in the morning, start of the week with the editor, with producer Matt, with the team.
Yes.
We go over all the big news stories in the world.
Pour us a tall cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Get out our pen.
Get out the cigarettes. Start smoking
and we
away.
And say, what happened in the news? Because we're going there.
Yeah,
what happened in the news this week is Philippines, President Rodrigo Duterte has announced that they're getting a vaccine from Russia. And last I heard, although this might need to get cleared up, he was going to take the vaccine first. By the way, this is months before anyone else, I think, is getting a vaccine. The vaccine's coming. Russia has announced they're done. They case closed. They found a vaccine. It works. I read that they said they've been working on it for 6 years, which is amazing.
They're ahead of time. They knew about the coronavirus somehow.
They knew about it 6 years ago. Yeah, which is good for them, you know?
Yeah.
And they're going to take, and it not only it works, but it's 100% effective.
Oh, which is amazing. Because even in America, like Fauci said, our vaccines are probably going to be about 50 to 60% best case scenario effective.
Yeah, but Vladdy Putin over there is 100% effective. He said they're calling. You know what the name of it is? It's the Sputnik 1 or Sputnik 5, maybe. I'm not even kidding. It's Sputnik something. So Chino's coming on in a second to tell us about that. But Kat, before he comes on, what do you know? Let's just start here. What do you know about have you been to the Philippines?
Have I been to the Philippines? No. The answer is first off.
Blowhard, Cap, when someone asks you a question, you ask
think about
yourself
it.
The same
I think
question.
About it. Have I been? Do I forget? Because I've been so many places, I forget where I've been. I got to look at the passport.
Have I been to the Philippines?
I dated a Filipino girl once. Is that
close
count?
Enough? Close enough.
And she, you know, very nice girl. We used to call her Saint Mary, though, because she would believe in waiting until marriage.
Oh, no.
And she told me fresh start. She's like, you'll get used to it. All boyfriends do. It'll be okay. And then
this is
a perfect podcast because yesterday or 2 days ago was the 17th anniversary of the blackout in New York City when we lost power for like 3 days or 30 hours.
And was I was that dating, chance?
I was dating her at the time. And that's when I realized we had to walk up steps because there's no elevator. There's no air conditioning. It was hot as 100 degrees out. That's when I realized you can't date a virgin. What am I going to do? Everybody in the city was screwing who was in a relationship. And I was walking up and down steps in the heat and dripping. It was a disaster. So we broke up soon after.
Yeah, you can't even at least in high school, you know, or whatever, you can watch a movie.
Yeah, we couldn't watch a movie. There's nothing you can do.
With a virgin.
It was like the quarantine, but without a Netflix. So, yeah. And then, so I really, I don't want to disparage the whole country. I'm sure there's a lot of easy women. We'll find out. But my experience, off the bat.
Well, I know a few things. One thing I know is Manny Pacquiao's a senator.
Oh, right. Of course. And a great boxer.
Which I like. So I like my senators to be people who get hit in the head for a living.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get hit a lot. He was quick. If Ricky Hatton is your senator, you're in trouble, but he beat the crap.
Buster Douglas for California State Senate next year.
Hey, you know, I mean, at this rate, we could be, that could be where we're going next after Trump. But yeah, so that's one thing. And he's because he was going to retire from boxing, I think, to like just be in Congress there. He was too busy. And then he came back. So that's,
yeah, there's something else I know that, that I've been, by the way, I've been there a few times. I've been to the Philippines. I've performed comedy. I think Chino might not remember this, but we were on a show together at a barber shop in, I want to say, Quezon City, if I'm pronouncing that right. And anyway, but this is what I remember is that, do you know this, Kaplan? That there's every single fast food restaurant we have in America, they also have in the Philippines. But they have more American fast food restaurants than we have in America because they still have Shakey's Pizza.
Shakey's? That's a
classic. From the 80s?
Yeah. Did they go out of business? I mean, I thought that was like a, is it gone completely? It was terrible pizza, I remember.
They went out of business in America, but it's like thriving still in the Philippines.
Oh.
So they have every fast food restaurant we have plus one we used
plus
to have.
Plus the ones we used to have. The ones
it's like that, how Tower Records is still big in Japan. But it's,
I wonder if they have... I remember Taco Maker was this great taco place on the East Coast that's long gone. I wonder if they have Taco Maker. We'll find out. First,
I don't know. Anyway, we've talked long enough. Let's
and
bring
what
him
about,
in.
And my last thing I wanted to say, is that because I don't know about you, but childhood memories of, because we were going to get to politics. I just remember Marcos and all the shoes. That was that had like a burned image in my head of like the crazy amount of shoes and handbags. My parents were always talking. Everyone was always talking about it. So it was like one of the only things we knew about.
Every suburban household in America. Every
it was
shoes-
like.
The envy of every suburban housewife.
Because when you looked for a house, you'd say, how big are the closets? Because it hold all of her shoes and handbags. That was the goal of every housewife in America in the 80s. So yes. the Reagan world. So that's all, the other thing I remember.
As far as we know, their government went from the lady with the shoes to Manny Pacquiao.
Fast forward.
To Duterte.
To Duterte. That's it. That's the American knowledge. So we're going to find a little more out, hopefully.
So Chino, what did we get? Welcome to the show, dude.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. You got a bunch of them correct, Captain. That lucked out with the waiting till marriage lady. a lot of loose women. You should drop by and I can show you where they are.
Okay, that's my wife.
Yeah, find you a Filipino wife. Why not? But in essence, you got everything right. Yeah. Manny Pacquiao is actually a senator, and supposedly he is running for president in 2022, when we have our next elections. Yeah. He's one of the top dudes suspected to run.
And what's his party? What's his political party?
He's part of the same party that the president is in right now.
Oh, so what's going to happen?
They're all in the same little corrupt boat.
So he's going to primary him?
Yeah, how does that work? Do you have primaries?
We don't have those here, but yeah, probably.
Or he's not going to fight him because that's not really fair to Duterte. So
yeah, no, because Duterte can't be. We don't have re-elections here. You get your term and you're done for the 6 years that you ran.
Oh, you have term limits.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
So we don't have re-electionists here. Once Duterte is done with his term, it'll be time for somebody else to take over. I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. Manny Pacquiao is in an opposing party called PDP Laban. It's a different party altogether than the characters are.
Don't worry. First of all, we should say this at the beginning.
We don't have to be right on any of this
stuff.
All right.
Don't worry about the facts.
Same party.
But that's good. I like that you correct us. So now we don't have to.
So
I gave you a random political party that you don't care about.
It sounds right. You just make it up.
Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah.
So Chino, right off the bat, Duterte is this his second? You get two three-year terms?
No, you get 1 6-year term.
One 6-year term.
Yes. We should do that. Some people have talked about us doing that because then you wouldn't just have a president who just runs for re-election the first, and they actually just do what they want to do. So that's it. Look at that. Good idea.
I think you can only run for re-election if you were the vice president and came in as president, because Gloria Macapagal Arroyo, another former president, that did that and used that as an excuse. Like, I didn't get my full 6 years. Hold on, let me get another shot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And she did, and she got in. So,
what about the fast food? How'd we do on that?
The fast food, you guys are pretty correct. I've never heard of Taco Maker though,
That would be a real. That was trying to think of a deep cut.
I haven't either, actually.
Yeah, there's like four branches in the East Coast.
We we had Orange Julius.
Oh, that's a good
until
one.
Until a few years ago. I know you guys don't have that anymore.
Yeah, we had that's a classic 80s one we had right? growing up like, in like every mall in America.
It was combined with the Dairy Queen. So when you go to a Dairy Queen, you'd have an Orange Julius right next to it.
Actually, I got to make a correction. I was just in Maine, the great state of Maine, and we saw an Orange Julius, and we were going nuts because we were like, I thought that was gone 20 years ago. So that's the Philippines of America, apparently.
Philippines and Maine still have Orange Julius.
They might have Shakey's off the check.
The only
next
thing
time.
Maine and the Philippines have in common is Orange Julius. But yeah, that's about it. Shakey's is big here, though. Shakey's is very big. I just had Shakey's last night.
Shakey's pizza.
You know, it was very impressive to me when I used to live in Suzhou next to Shanghai, people would do this in Hong Kong too. I remember Ryan Hynek would do this. He would schedule vacations to go to the Philippines specifically to go to Taco Bell.
Ryan Hynek has promised every single Filipino he meets that he's going to retire in the Philippines.
I'm sure he will.
That's a blood oath that he's sworn to now.
He loves
Taco
Bell
so much. He has been to places I've never been to. Like, that's how much he's been here. So
that's
it's
a
insane.
Hong Kong-based comedian. So, Chino, what about what's going on with this vaccine? Set us straight here.
Yeah.
So, okay. Rodrigo Duterte got – let's start from the beginning here. Rodrigo Duterte got elected into office because he made a bunch of very unreasonable promises to the Filipino people. Right, he promised that he himself literally would get on a jet ski and jet over to the islands that China is occupying in the north of the Philippines. Right? There are disputed territories there. He said that. He said he was going to end crime in 6 months. All crime gone in six months. Right? Boom. Just like that. And then he said he was also going to end contractualization, which was a thing here. It's basically where there are a lot of temp jobs in the Philippines.
Right.
After 6 months, people are out of the job because of they work in malls and just these large multinational corporations that have buildings and property all over. And basically, the way they get by is by hiring a lot of temp jobs, a lot of temps, right, to get by. And that's a big issue here because people don't get benefits. People don't get paid properly. They don't get paid overtime. So it's a big labor issue. And he said that, boom, he's going to Thanos it away, right? He promised all these things. And now it's been 4 years into his first term as president. And it's just nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. Nothing
no jet said. Ski?
No jet ski. No end of crime. Nothing. has happened. Because so now, sorry, go ahead, Captain.
No, I was going to say, from our perspective, we hear a lot about the crime, the drug situation, that like he's on top of it. He's doing extreme measures and taking care of it, but not really.
No, not really, man. Crime has arguably gone up since he's come into office because the number of vigilante killings, as they say, have gone up. Like, He gained notoriety in a city called Davao, which is 2 hours south of Manila by plane, right? So very far, the farthest point of the Philippines, that's where he found himself in power. And in Davao, they had an urban legend, if you will, of death squads roaming around the city countryside there and just basically picking up vagrants and killing them. I don't really know how else to explain it.
That's vigilantes,
why,
you mean?
Yeah, the vigilantes exist over in that part of the country. And so when people heard that this man, this badass from the southern part of the Philippines is running for office, they immediately just grabbed onto it. Because everybody just wanted an extreme measure. All of a sudden, like they wanted something drastic to happen right away, and so that's and so that's why when he came into power, a lot of just innocent, impoverished people started either going missing or ending up dead.
Really, because the vigilantes thought they had like they could do what they want now.
Right, it was the exactly. name of getting exactly. It'd be all over the news. there are a bunch of articles online, and I can send you the links if you want, of people just ending up dead with wrapped in tape with like placards that, I know this isn't very funny, but it's like wrapped in tape with placards that said, that say, I'm a drug dealer. That's why I'm dead. And it happened more than once.
But you're saying it wasn't accurate?
So it wasn't accurate because it was just indiscriminate. They were just going to pick up the first person they see. There was a 16-year-old boy. He was one of the first people who got killed by this whole wave of vigilantes, who supposedly was just walking home from school. He got picked up by the cops. And then after that, that's the last week they heard of the kid. And the next day, they found his body.
Wow.
Is
there a specific type of person or a group or religious group? Are they targeting a certain type of person, or it's literally anyone?
So far, they're looking to put the point on the poorer part of the population.
Okay.
The Philippines is a very poor country. The disparity between the rich and the poor is massive. So there are people who are going to end up at the barrel. You know, people are gonna get the shorter end of the stick, if you will. But at the same time, this was just so drastic, just a massive wave of just eliminations of people just ending up dead.
And what was going on right before Duterte came in? Because a lot of times things have to be so bad in a country for people to feel like we need this, you know?
Okay, here's the funny part. The president before him ran under the Liberal Party, which I suppose could be compared to the Democrats in the United States. And he was very progressive. He lowered taxes. He tried to eliminate debt. That was one of his platforms. He wanted to make sure that the Philippines was debt-free by the end of his term, or as close to debt-free as possible. So because you don't get re-elections here in the Philippines, when his term was over, they needed to replace him with another dude. Unfortunately, the guy they replaced him with wasn't as popular with the Filipino people because of certain issues. And so when people found a polarizing figure like Rodrigo Duterte, Filipinos are very fan-based people. We are very fan-based people. We're fanatics for all sorts of things. So when we see somebody who's as polarizing as Rodrigo Duterte, it's either you love him or you hate him. And unfortunately, 13 million Filipinos loved him enough to vote him into power.
Was Duterte known beforehand? Like, was he?
Yes, yes. Like I said, he was a mayor.
Mayor, okay.
In Davao City, which is the Mindanao, which is south of the Philippines.
Well, I think that's not just specific to the Philippines, this idea that we love, that people love a strong figure.
Clear in America, some people have followed that.
I mean, yeah, you guys have Trump. So.
I think here, Russia, China, Philippines, Russia, they don't really have UK. I mean, there's countries around the world that people are now, people are taking over. But
but crime wasn't a big, it wasn't like people were like, we need
it
to
was, change. It was bad, but it wasn't drastically bad. Like, I wasn't in fear of my life,
right?
Like, I wasn't afraid to go outside.
Where do you live, Chino?
I live in Quezon City, which is a municipality of Metro Manila. When you say Manila, you actually are talking about Metro Manila, which is 12 different cities all crumpled up together. So Quezon City being one of those 13.
That's where we did the show.
Right, exactly.
In a barbershop in Quezon City.
I can't believe you remember that.
Barbershop.
I'm so random. I barely remember that. I'm so random.
This was what was amazing. There was the show, and there some of the so there was maybe like 15 comedians on the show. I think it was a lot. Right. It was long. It was a few hours.
Yeah.
And there was probably 30 people there for the show. Like, it was that which filled it up, 30 or 40 people, pretty packed. But then also in the middle of this show, basically, Kaplan, just imagine a regular comedy show, but also people are still getting their haircuts the whole time.
That's amazing.
They didn't shut down the barbershop to have the show, but they just had the show around.
But the barbers have their own shtick. You know, you're getting in the way of the barber doing his stuff. I mean, my barber is hilarious.
Yeah.
You like that, showing him up.
Chino, I also remember most of the comedians doing it in English. I was the only Ryan Hynek and I, he's another American. He lives in Hong Kong. We were the only non-Filipinos on the show, but most of you guys did it in English. But then I remember Alex, somebody.
Calieja, yeah.
Calieja did it in Tagalog.
Right.
And it was this crazy. And then some people did it in a mixed language back and forth.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, that's because you guys were there. They wanted to cater to you guys.
Is that why it was some people in English?
That's why that's why most of it was in English. Like,
really?
Cater to the comics.
It happens that whenever we see a foreign face in the crowd, because 90% of our shows are always filled by local audiences. We rarely, I'd even go as far to say that 99% of our audiences are Filipino.
I mean, it was 100%. The audience was 100% Filipino.
Except for you.
Yeah, except for you guys.
Except for us.
Yeah, so you were the 1% in the audience.
So that whole thing was orchestrated for us.
Yeah, they wanted you to have a good time. Very great.
Pretty much.
Nice people.
Ryan and I kept saying to each other, we were in the back, and I was like, Ryan, I get that the audience speaks English and that the comedians speak English, but why not just do the whole show I get why we have to do it in English because we don't speak the language, you know? But wow, that's fascinating. So people were almost
Also, around the time you guys came in, a lot of us started out as English comedians.
Okay? Yeah.
Right. So essentially, that's how we were taught. That's how we were trained to do. And it's only till recently, till a few years ago, that we started transitioning to pure Tagalog sets.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So, and now you have two sets. You have like an English set and Tagalog.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Alex was the only one who did it in pure Tagalog, and he just like destroyed.
Yeah, he does that. He tends to do that.
Yeah.
He tends to do that.
Interesting. So, okay, so back to Detroit. So so then he takes over. So now let's get to this this vaccine. What's been going on?
Okay, so apparently the vaccine coming from Russia hasn't even gone through stage 3 testing yet.
Yeah.
So it's massively untested and unproven.
Jet ski of
right, exactly. Right, and the president, and this is why I bring up all those other things, because the president says he's going to be the first one to take the shot. Right, it's going to be tested on him first.
on national TV.
On that, because it's never going to happen. He just says things and people just latch onto it. Like,
okay.
Yeah,
because we were going to fanaticism around him. It's ridiculous.
Because he's going to make Trump jealous because Trump thinks he's got this great relationship with Putin. He's going to want that vaccine first, too, here. So really showing him up, the Philippines. Do you guys have a relationship with Russia in general? Or
we have a relationship supposedly with Russia and China. When Duterte came to power, he didn't budge. When China started taking over the islands in the northern part of the country, supposedly that territory was disputed by Vietnam, ourselves, Malaysia, and China, right?
So the South China Sea we're talking about.
Right. Yep. And there are a group of islands right there, I forget, but near towards the Marianas Trench, right? That are supposedly under Philippine territory. They're part of the Philippine Economic Zone. However, China says they're part of their economic zone and actually claimed that the Philippines was a part of China now.
Mm. Look at that.
It's a whole other thing, man. China is also another big linchpin in Duterte's presidency, because when he came to power, a lot of Chinese businesses, industry, even a whole population started to grow here in the Philippines. We started getting more Chinese tourists here. When the coronavirus was happening, he didn't want to block Chinese tourists, even if that's where the supposed epicenter of.
So he doesn't call it the China virus?
Yeah, he doesn't call it the China virus. He welcomes the China virus.
Oh.
he even said that China was going to help out when this thing happens, right? He said that China's going to hook us up with a vaccine of their own.
Oh, they were the first choice before Russia.
Yeah,
before Russia. Does he plan on, because I also read something that this was going to be, he's hoping the vaccine's going to be free from Russia.
Right.
Like it's coming for free.
Well, it doesn't work, so it can be free.
I mean,
for all we know, the virus just have vodka.
Yeah.
Little things of vodka. They use it for everything over there. Yeah. And then they shoot you up with it.
Because Russia's known for their medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the plan, though? Is it that like, oh, well, whatever country gives us a free virus, a free vaccine?
Yeah, we'll take it.
So a while back, last year, a few years ago, the dengue fever vaccine. Dengue is a disease you get from mosquitoes. For those of you that don't know. It's a big problem here in the Philippines because, like I said, a lot of us are very impoverished, not very well off. And so mosquitoes come, they bite you, you get the dengue, dengue fever, and then you possibly die. Like, it's very serious. Right, so Dengvaxia was a vaccine supposedly guaranteed to help stop the dengue fever. However, the people who got injected with the Dengvaxia vaccine, because it was largely untested, got even worse, and a lot of them perished, fortunately. Now, that vaccine also came from Russia. And whenever something like this happens, where they say that, oh, Russia's going to hand off free vaccines for all of us. Just so they're essentially saying they're going to test the vaccine out of an entire country.
Yeah, fool me once, huh?
Yeah, guinea pigs, basically.
We're essentially Filipino guinea pigs. Yeah. That's what's happening.
Once bitten, twice shy, huh?
Right.
It's I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not.
Hold out for an American or a British or some other country's plan.
Do you think it's an economic issue? Like, because as Kaplan was saying off air, you know, we were talking about this before the podcast started, but certain countries can afford to, you know, are people still on, are people get on a lot of the country on welfare like it is in the US? Or is the government paying people to stay at home? Is the government running out of money? What's going on?
Okay. So, I'm just going to make it easy and say corruption's a big problem here.
Yeah.
Corruption's a big problem here. PhilHealth, which is the centralized healthcare system in the country, is under fire now because, and this is run by the government, right? So the centralized healthcare system run by the government was apparently being accused by a third-party accountant of stealing 15 billion pesos from local funds. So essentially the funds that the country borrows from China, from the World Bank, from everywhere else, was just taken by top PhilHealth officials. So now it's under hearing in the Senate, but as far as I remember, none of these things ever progress because everything is just systemic. Like, it trickles down from the very top. Like, top guy gets a little something, passes it on to other people, and then before you know it, everybody just gets a little something from the 15 billion pie.
Yeah, you know? That happens here.
So I mean, it's a thing. It's pretty systemic, I should say. So with your question about welfare. There is welfare. Yes, there are cities, like especially in Metro Manila, where I am now, where they are able to help people out, but it's not a lot. It's not enough for people to get by. Like, instead of money, they're giving out food packs, food rations, but the food rations are ridiculous. It won't last you a month, let alone the 5 that we are in lockdown, right? It's like, it's like a kilo of rice, 4 packs of noodles, and 4 tiny little things of food, like 4 little canned goods of varying assortments, right? And then that's what they say they spent the money on.
Okay. And how long is that supposed to last, the food? The
it's supposed to last you the 5 months that you're in lockdown.
Oh, total? Yeah. 5 months? 4 bags of rice?
Is a kilo of rice a lot? I don't have no idea. So that's
it. It's It's about that, this big, about that big.
Is and this was so you guys were in a lockdown for 5 months? Was that?
We started in March. It's now August. It's been more than 5 months.
You're still in the lockdown?
We are in what's called modified extreme community quarantine. So basically, nobody's allowed outside of their house. If you are going to go out, you need a pass.
Oh.
Malls are closed. Public venues are closed. Restaurants can only do takeout and delivery. Did I miss anything? Again, there's a curfew. So essentially that.
So what about, are most people not working then?
Yes.
Most people.
People are either working from home or, sorry, all the workforce, still employed, are all working from home, right?
Yeah.
Like a good bunch of them are working from home. But there are frontliners out there, like doctors, nurses, as well as gas station attendants, people who work in restaurants are still open, supermarket employees. Those people guaranteed to still have work. But a lot of people also got laid off because of the current situation, because businesses are going out of business, because, it is what it is.
So with this vaccine, in terms of the idea that, in 2017, people took this Russian vaccine and then it had side effects. Do you think if a vaccine comes, are people like almost suspicious? Like, will people even take a vaccine if it comes, do you think, in the Philippines?
People are suspicious that the problem is people have been suspicious of this administration as soon as this virus hit. Like, as soon as the pandemic started to become a thing, people were already suspicious of the government, because the government's only plan of action with regards to COVID-19 is to wait for a vaccine. That's it. They didn't want to do testing. They didn't want to do contact tracing.
Well, that means more cases.
They just wanted to wait for a vaccine. They said, let's wait it out. And now that the vaccine is happening, they're putting all their eggs into that basket.
Right. I was reading that the Duterte said that schools are closed until there's a vaccine, basically.
Yes. And,
which I'm a parent. I can't live there.
Right.
But then he opened up. I was also reading that he opened up casinos at some point.
Up casinos, but they're closed again. Oh. But he opened up casinos. Just about 2 weeks ago, before we went into lockdown.
Oh, that lasted long.
Yeah.
Did you go? Did you gamble at all?
I did not. My dad, it sucks because once casinos open, so from MECQ, Modified Extreme Community Quarantine, we got downgraded to the next level, which means everything started to open again. Malls were open. I was able to get a haircut, which was fun. everything. Everything
and comedy?
No comedy yet.
A comedy before. At the barber shop? No.
I got to do all that, but then my dad, who's a big time casino guy, actually started getting texts from his friends in the casino telling him to drop by. But it's unfortunate because my dad is actually stuck out there in the U.S. So he hasn't even been back since March.
Oh, he's in America.
Yeah. So my entire family's out there stuck waiting this whole thing out.
What?
Whereabouts?
Your whole family's in the U.S. So can people, what's the travel situation? Can people travel in and out of the Philippines right now?
Okay. People can travel, but it's a hassle. There are extra layers of security and health checks you have to go through if you're flying into the Philippines. Like, for example, I had a friend fly back from LA, and she said that as soon as you land, apart from immigration, the first thing you have to do is get tested for COVID-19. And then you go through, which is an ordeal in itself because of the number of people and the number of doctors willing to do that, right? So you do that, it adds another 2-3 hours to your time. And then you go through the normal routine of the immigration and getting your bags. And then you're not even allowed to go home. You have to quarantine yourself in one of their approved hotels, accredited hotels, for either 7 days or 14 days. Because 7 days is the minimum amount of time before you get your results, your test results.
Yeah.
And so if you're negative, fine, you can go. But if you're positive, you have to stay in the hotel for an extra 2 weeks. If you're positive and asymptomatic.
Yeah.
If you're positive and not asymptomatic, then it's a whole other length of problems you have to endure.
Yeah. What about, because if you just looking at the numbers, I mean, obviously you guys, 5 months in lockdown is pretty intense. And I could see that killing the economy and killing, you know, a lot of not being great mentally for people. But if you look at the numbers, you have, I think, 2,500 total deaths, something around that number. Right. We have 170,000, I believe we're at now.
Right.
Is there anyone who's saying, well, this is worth it? He is doing a good job on this specifically because people are still alive.
Or yeah, I'm going to read you the total confirmed number of cases as of right now, just right now.
Yeah.
It's 164,474 confirmed cases. At one point in time, we had a high of 7,000 cases in one day. And that was during lockdown. All the doctors here are overworked. They are all tired. Some of them have passed away because of this virus. It's a very ineffective way to go about a catastrophe.
Because they're not doing testing, they're not doing tracing, they're literally exactly. just locked
right, so
down.
Their numbers of cases are probably higher than what
well, the yeah, official. If they're not testing anyone, how do you know?
Yeah.
And then yes, even the, exactly.
And they're even waiting. The death numbers could be higher if yeah. you know, if you don't know the cause in some cases, you can give it to other.
Yep.
Okay, so you're saying is those death numbers might not be accurate.
Yes, exactly.
I see.
But Turner, weren't you saying to me off air as well, if we got this right, but that you guys, part of the lockdown, people are allowed to go outside for only like certain times a day? Like, was
oh, yeah,
that
I wanted to ask about that. I have some friends. Now, I don't know. I believe they live south of Manila on a lake. You might know what I'm talking about. These are expats who I believe live in like a wealthy neighborhood. But they were saying that they're allowed to leave, but to go shopping, but only for 3 hours a day, maybe from 9 to noon or something like that.
Outside Metro Manila, it's a lot laxer. Certain parts of the country are a lot easier to get around in. But getting out of even just getting out of Metro Manila is its own little problem because you have to go through checkpoints. You have to be sure that you're not sick, you know, all these things. So
yeah.
Manila itself is locked down pretty tight. I can't say for sure. I think your friend lives in Tagaytay, which is pretty far off. It's about 2 hours from where I am.
Yes, I think that's right.
So, right? So it's pretty far off where I am right now. And as far as I know, that part of the country isn't as tightly locked down as Metro Manila.
Just wondering, has Duterte shot anyone dead? Because he says a lot.
He should get like somebody who wants to, who's already going to die or something, so he can show up. No,
yeah, and film it.
Not him personally, no.
Because he said that if everyone disobeys the lockdown, he'll shoot people dead in the street.
You're right. He says a lot of things, man.
But he hasn't done that.
He hasn't done that, no. No, if he can't even get on a jet ski to go fucking chase down the Chinese, how is he going to shoot anybody?
So he's a fake tough guy is what we're hearing. He's not, because I think our president looks up to him. He thinks he's like killing people with his bare hands to stop drugs. And he's not.
No,
what
it's
about?
Grossly overestimated.
He's just morally just inspiring others, which is really sending me a message. By the way, Turner, we've talked about this a lot. I want to start a vigilante group of my own in my neighborhood because we got an increase of problems. And now you're telling me it's not all fun. There's some bad side effects to being a vigilante.
It's not as easy as it looks.
It's
not as easy as it looks. No, definitely not.
But I wouldn't write, here's a drug dealer. I would write, here's a fireworks that are offered. That's my problem. But yeah. All right.
Kaplan's anti-fireworks. That's his big... Chino, what about the comedy scene? Obviously, there's nothing going on right now, but how's it been going recently?
We've started doing Zoom shows. That's been a thing
here,
like everywhere else in the world. There was a Zoom show last week, but as far as I know, that's the last one for a while. the things reset. And that's about it for comedy. We haven't really attempted doing any. I know you guys in the States have outdoor shows with social distancing and stuff.
Yeah.
We haven't really attempted to do that because we were all afraid for our lives.
Yeah, you don't want to get shot dead in the street.
Right, exactly.
Trying to
right?
tell a knock-knock it's, joke
it's,
or something.
It's between COVID or fucking getting shot. Just for a dick joke, right?
So
it's
well, I'll tell you this much. The show last night, Gus Tate was on a show in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, and it got shut down by the police.
Wow.
Outdoor, standing in a park show.
Really?
No microphone, no stage, no one touching each other. You know, there's no mic, so it's not even like people sharing the same mic.
How You're can you shut just, it down? Yeah.
It was put on by Stand Up New York, and he said he was on. He was performing, and the cops came over, and they said, you're last. Like, you can finish your set, but then
it would be good for Gus if they would have, like, Lenny Bruce style, like, marched him off. And,
you're right. Good, good for his career.
Him on stage, yeah.
Controversial.
The problem with Gus is that he would have to put up a fight. You know,
like, yeah.
He would not the biggest guy.
He's not gonna do that. What I loved about you guys, it was so impressive when I was, you know, because we were all starting in these scenes in the I think we all started roughly around the same time, maybe 10 years ago, right. Eight something. And in all of our scenes, they were these expat scenes, we were performing for other expats, but we were also in countries where we weren't, like in mainland China, there was no thought that we could get on TV or something. And I remember going over to the Philippines and all you guys were either had your own TV shows, were writing on TV shows. A lot of you guys were professional comedians in like 2013, 14, meaning that was all you did, where no one else was like that. There was no one in Hong Kong, in Singapore, maybe a couple people because they could get it. This was before, you know, Comedy Central Asia and all that stuff. But another guy named Ari Neiman, maybe or something.
Ari Neiman, yeah.
Ari Neiman, he was writing on a show, and I know GB was doing really well. And right. You guys were, I was like looking up to you. I'm like, oh my God, this is the dream to do this. So is that still, are people still getting opportunities out of stand up in the Philippines?
Yeah. There are a lot of opportunities in stand up right now. Myself, I started, with things being the way they are, we all started our own little podcast.
Yes. What's your
Everybody
podcast?
Everybody has a podcast now, right? So,
of course.
So we're doing that. A lot of people, a local group of comedians started doing their own sketch company and started producing online sketches. So that's another aspect for them, because a lot of our newer, younger comedians started writing for that company. And so that's doing well. Solid OK is doing very well.
What's your podcast?
Unfortunately, with... Sorry, what? Sorry.
What's the name of your podcast?
Oh, my podcast is called Class Clown. I basically talk to people, and I'd love to have you guys on when we get the chance.
But yes.
It's basically a podcast where I talk to people about different jobs like they have, different things they're good at, you know.
Kaplan would be great. You know, Kaplan for the last 15 years was the assistant to Robert De Niro.
Wow, really?
That's
I bet you have stories.
Another thing I found super interesting is...
Unlike the Tuerte, though, De Niro would kill me, so I have to be careful. he would send me in the East River with it.
Another thing is that you guys called it, when I got over there, you know, it's called stand-up most places. You guys were calling it point-of-view comedy, right? And I remember that...
I think he got cut off.
Oh, are we still there? Yeah. Yeah.
Turner.
Okay. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We lost your Wi-Fi for a second.
Okay. So you guys were calling
now
it
I can hear you.
Point of view. It was being called point of view comedy in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I remember GB explained to me, because their previously stand-up comedy was known as something else. Right.
Right. Right.
What was that?
Stand-up over here was performed very differently than wherever else it was performed around the world. Stand-up in the Philippines was actually performed by drag queens in karaoke bars, where they get up on stage, sing a song, do a little riffing, or a lot of riffing, as the case may be, and then sing another song. And that's what people knew as stand-up.
So if you guys called yourself stand-up comedians, they'd be like, hey, where's the dress? Where's the makeup? Yeah,
exactly. Like, where's the sing? Where's the song? Right? We want to hear you sing. I told my mom I was going to be a comedian. true story. She asked if I was coming out.
She's mortified. That's great.
Right. Like she thought that it was, because that's what she was used to. She wasn't used to the stand-up we do. So it was somebody's idea. I can't remember who, to call it point of view stand-up, because it's essentially the best way to describe it, right? Like it's you just expressing your point of view on stage.
I mean, as America, as America gets more progressive, pretty soon, Turner, everyone's gonna be a drag queen if you want to get stage time.
If you're not a drag queen, they're gonna be like, "What's wrong with you?" You know,
yeah.
That's like now, like in the NBA bubble, if you do stand for the national anthem, that's a news story.
That's the word, yeah. No.
I mean, the only places
in my area in New York City where you could go to take your kids to get like a story read to them is called the Drag Queen Story Hour. There's no like non-drag queen story hour. So
you mean at the library?
At the library, yeah. You just go there, they read you, so that's the future. They should be telling jokes though. They haven't thought of that yet.
Are there any drag queens who transitioned to your style stand-up? Because they almost had the skill set for it.
Yeah, they're ready.
Yeah, as far as we know, nobody's been able to do that yet. I haven't seen a drag performer become a point of view stand-up comedian. Likewise, I haven't seen a point of view stand-up comedian become a drag queen. So, it's
got to happen
this
soon.
Time. Yeah, pretty much, right?
Time for everything.
What does Duterte what is his views on comedy? You like to laugh? Or is he?
Hey, he has his own late night open mic every night. He goes live on TV.
Really?
He goes live on TV. They give him a speech. He doesn't read it. He goes off script 90% of the time. And he just rants.
Oh, like every night? This.
He invented the Cuomo presser.
I was going to say, our governor stole his bit.
But he was doing this before coronavirus, right? He was doing this since he's been elected.
He's been doing it for a few years now.
Is there a way to watch that?
It's on YouTube. You can just type up. Can send you the link. You can just look for it. Presidential.
Turner, maybe you can get a job running for him if you can't get a job running for Cuomo.
Yeah, Chino, we're trying to get jobs right because our governor has been doing this since coronavirus.
Governor of New York,
right?
And he really riffs, but his jokes are terrible.
Yeah, he repeats himself a lot.
He does the same bit every night.
It is exactly like President Duterte.
But here, I don't know how it works for Duterte, but here, the jokes land the first couple times he does it, but it's the same journalist at the news conference. So after a while, the jokes stop landing, and he doesn't understand why. He's confused. Yeah, it's like because they've heard your material before, so he needs new writers. So we want to go write for him.
They should fire President Duterte's punch-up guy because this dude is not – no jokes whatsoever. Just a lot of insults and cuss words being flung.
He goes blue?
Like, you know how when you get like a drunk first-time open micer that just rants?
Yeah. They get it's
him, except he's the president of the country. Like, that's what it is.
All right. Oh my God.
And he does them now. Does he do them over Zoom now or anything? Or is he
Zoom show? Okay. So here's an interesting development. So every night he does these things, he actually meets with his entire cabinet. And as of last week, I believe, one of the cabinet members tested positive for COVID.
Ooh.
So everything's locked down now. But supposedly there should be a press briefing right now that's going on TV. By midnight, if I'm not mistaken. So in about an hour, Manila time, he should be on TV giving another update of where we are in the lockdown period.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Wait, Gina, I have one last question for you.
Go ahead, man.
It's about the heard about the motorbike situation. Is there an issue with motorbikes in the Philippines?
Right. Okay, so we have a lot of motorized taxis here. And it's basically, you get on a bike, you go from point A to point B, you pay the guy. It's cheaper, gets you to traffic quicker, and that's that. But because of the coronavirus, we've had to socially distance ourselves. And it's pretty impossible to socially distance yourself on a motorbike, right? You're hanging on to the dude.
So you would hang on to a stranger, basically. Like,
right, yeah, exactly, right? In the middle of traffic. You can't get from anywhere being socially distanced, right? So what they suggested was, and I think this is what you're talking about, was for the motorcycle ride, the drivers, the main guy, to have a panel of plexiglass attached to his back.
Like a backpack. Yes.
Yeah, like a backpack, exactly. And for you to not be able to
so you're still holding them, but you're
exactly.
You're not holding the glass, right? You're holding the
There are arm holes for you to put your hands through
the plexiglass.
But other than that, you have the thin sheet of plexiglass to stop you from getting infected by the virus.
Yeah, how is that? Also, yeah, really.
It's ridiculous looking. Like, it's like they look like futuristic paratroopers. It just look very silly.
I mean, I would never. Have you ever been on a motorbike with somebody holding on to some random dude, Turner?
Yeah, of course. I lived in Asia for 12 years.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, that's like America. That would be we're not comfortable enough to do that here.
You've traveled, Kaplan. You've been to Thailand.
I took a tuk-tuk or something. I'm not like holding on to. I don't know. That wouldn't fly in America. Is what I'm trying to say. I don't think they'd be comfortable.
Yeah, well, American traffic isn't as bad as Philippine traffic.
Yeah,
but that's true. It's the worst traffic I've seen in the world. It destroys LA. It's way worse than that.
Right. Yeah.
Although, Chino, I will say that when I did that show with you guys in Quezon City, I had to get to the airport, and the advice I got at that show, the show ended at like 2 a.m. or something, and my flight was at 7 a.m., and they told me, or maybe my flight was at like noon or something, but they told me, they're like, listen, just leave at like 5 in the morning. Because if you leave any later, you're going to get caught in traffic. It'll take you 2 hours to get to the airport. But if you leave at like 4 or 5 a.m., you'll get there in like 25 minutes.
Right.
And so that, and it was true. So I just hung out at the airport for like a few hours till my flight came. But it is the craziest traffic. But Gino, I think that's the show, man. Cab, unless I'm cutting you off here.
Yeah, I don't know. Any other thing? We like our guests to leave these things, these shows with like an immense amount of knowledge on the country so they can impress their friends at cocktail parties or wherever. Anything else about the Philippines we're missing? About coronavirus or not coronavirus?
I think we covered it all. I think we have our basis covered. John, we still think that care about that. But yeah, that's about it.
Good.
We got
Thank
it.
Thank you
that's good. That's
so
we
much,
jobs
Gino.
No problem, guys.
We hopefully the vaccine comes. Are you going to take the vaccine if the Russian vaccine comes?
I'm going to wait for somebody to take the vaccine and then ask them how they're feeling. And
there
then maybe
go,
I'll
man.
Think about it.
There
maybe
you go, man.
And what's some from your family's in the States, you were saying earlier? They're here now?
Yeah, they're in California right now.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe
next time next time you get to New York, I know you've been here before. Next time you get here, you're going to come do my show in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll let you know.
Sounds good, man.
That's good to think about the world like that. One day there'll be days where people are flying from the Philippines.
Exactly. We
got to
end in good news.
We'll end up positive.
One day we are going to get on a plane and we won't have to have plexiglass backpacks.
Kaplan, we have to bring the good news now. John Krasinski brought it for like 3 weeks.
What happened to that?
He couldn't even think of any more good news. Good news ran out. So now it's our job to bring good news.
Let's steal that name.
That is it. News. Chino Liao, thank you for doing it. Everybody check out his podcast, Class Clown, right? Kaplan.
On Spotify. So
on Spotify.
Class Clown. And thanks. check out our Patreon show, people.
Yes, of course.
Lost in America.
We do this every Monday. This is Lost in America. And then every Tuesday, 3 to 4 extra days a week, it's just Kaplan and I doing live from the bunker. You go to patreon.com/lostinamerica or go to lostinamericapod.com. It has all the information there. Plus, you can subscribe to this podcast.
And that's where you find out more about my vigilante this week. I got a whole vigilante storyline we're going to be getting
He's chomping
justice.
At the bit to talk about.
Yeah, so I'm inspired a little bit. I'm gonna reassess things from this interview.
I'm glad our poverty can inspire something
exactly.
in the world.
That's what we're all about. So anyway.
Yeah. Gino, thanks for doing it. Cap, what
Thank
should we
you
do?
Guys.
We should, it's about time we get lost.
Get lost.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.